discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Behind the impossibly catchy hit song, Never Been a Moment, is a story that might sound just a bit unlikely. Micah Tyler was traveling across the American Southwest in a sausage delivery truck, but dreaming of someday making a living sharing his gift of music in a way that ministered to others. Now the former truck driver has the number one song in America, and he joins us today on the road. A blessed day to you, brother. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. Super glad to be here with you.
So let's talk song before we talk sausage, sir. Never Been a Moment. It's this impossibly catchy tune, but the message in these words is just tremendous. I mean, there's never been a moment I was not held inside your arms. There's never been a day when you were not who you say you are. That absolute 100% consistency from God. Why did you want to craft a song about that, sir?
Well, it because the Lord crafted that in me first. Like, he proved himself to be the lyrics of the songs. The one thing that I try to do is that as a songwriter, I don't want to be someone who just writes songs for everyone else and hands them off and hopes for those things to be true. I want to make sure that whatever we're writing, number one, will sift through God's word. But number two, there's something very special for me as being the person who's kind of the missionary, kind of the messenger to go out and bring these messages, to have these things battle-tested in my own heart. And the Lord has proven himself over and over to me, to my family, and just through my entire life, that he is not only the God of the pages inside of the Bible that I have, but also the God who lives inside of my life and has, again, just shown himself to be trustworthy, shown himself to be faithful, and shown himself to be ever-loving to me.
Does it freak you out to hear your voice on the radio all over the place when you seek and scan, or does it feel normal somehow by now?
No, it is not. I mean, it's literally almost a surreal thing. I found myself it playing in the background, and all of a sudden I'll hear it, and I'll go, okay, I know this song. And then I go, oh, wait, no, I definitely know this song. So it is a complete blessing. Like, really, it's one of those crazy, surreal things. Like, it's just hard to understand it being real life. We just played a show in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, and another trippy thing is singing this song now that I've been singing for the last year. Different places, but I'm in Washington, D.C., in Tacoma Park, downtown, and I'm singing this song, and people are singing every lyric along with me, and that is something that I have to kind of separate myself from a little bit without getting overwhelmed, you know, just kind of seeing how the Lord is sending this song out right now.
Oh, absolutely. I can't even imagine, but it makes perfect sense as you describe it. So the headline of your story is definitely this time spent in sausage delivery. Set the scene for us then when you're working in meat delivery and also in youth ministry, but dreaming about this musical vocation.
Well, I literally had a meeting this past week with my record label, and I told them, I said, man, the things that are happening right now are things that we did not even know were okay to hope for. Like dreams that we didn't even know were okay to have. I was born and raised in Buna, Texas. We're not a city. We are an unincorporated little tiny township in Southeast Texas. We don't have a mayor. Our highest ranking official is the Redbud King and Queen. Okay. Like, and that's just people that are elected by the people every second Saturday in March. I could go through a whole lore of Buna, Texas, but that's not what we're talking about. But
it maybe should be, though, in fairness, but please continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, grew up in a population 2003 stoplight town. And so there was no one that went before us, that went before me, that was trying to do anything like this. And so for me, as a 16-year-old, I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 10 years old. Grew up in a family that loved the Lord and taught me so much growing up. But then at 17, I felt this calling into ministry. And for me, I'm a first-generation musician. And at the time, I was not a musician. At the time, I loved to sing. We always had music going in our house. So music was always a big part of growing up. Just in the background, it seemed like every day. but it was never a foreground kind of a thing. And so at 17, I felt this call to go into youth ministry. And so I graduated from high school, and at 18, I became a youth pastor at a little tiny church. It was my girlfriend at the time, who became my fiance, who's now my wife of 13 years. It was her grandfather was the head of deacons at a little Baptist church here in Buena. Became the youth pastor there, and I ended up serving in youth ministry for 9 years. Somewhere along the way, when I was about 20, I wanted someone to lead worship for my students before I would preach on Wednesday night. None of the kids could afford a guitar,
sure.
And then none of them were musical enough to play one once I went and bought one. So I thought, well, I guess I might as well learn the guitar so I could kind of do something, you know, to play some music with these kids. So anyways, just started teaching myself at 20 to play the guitar. Kind of turned into me leading worship a little bit at our church, and then maybe going and playing like a little event here and there for some friends of mine who were youth pastors. But again, it was never this feeling of like, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to do this thing. But then 9 years into youth ministry, we were married. We had two kids at the time. We have three now, but we had two at the time. We just felt this complete shift in our hearts that being faithful to the Lord in our lives was not going to be youth ministry any longer, that it was going to be this new thing and it was going to be music. And I'll be totally honest with you. I went to the Lord for 6 months and I just said, I think the wires have been crossed here a little bit because you have not prepared me to do this.
Yeah.
Like this is not, I mean, my music education is seventh grade band. That's as far as I got. And there's not a whole lot of first chair baritones needed in CCM music today. And so, but finally we just, again, it was this feeling of like our bones would hurt if we did not step into what we felt like our true calling was at the time. And so we ended up selling over half of what we owned. We bought a single wide mobile home trailer. We put it on some borrowed land. And I did a couple of odd jobs. I mowed grass for people on weekends. And I was a substitute teacher at an elementary school. And I also started driving for Beasley Sausage, which is a little company in Buena. They go all over Southeast Texas. It's my wife's uncle who actually owns the company. And so I started driving sausage and boudin. I don't know if you know what boudin is or not. It's kind of like a Cajun sausage thing. All over Southeast Texas. And like I said, was just doing that a couple of days a week, trying to make ends meet. And I traveled about 50 days the first year doing music. But again, the whole time, it was not because we knew someone in Nashville. We didn't have any connection to the Christian music industry. And we didn't even have anyone before us that said, here's how you do this thing. We just told the Lord, like, I don't know how to be a professional musician, but you've taught me how to be faithful. And so someone along the way told us that the Lord, you won't stand before the Lord one day and him say, well done, that good and successful CCM musician. It's faithful servant. And so for us, yes, faithful servant looked like driving sausage, playing songs, and loving Jesus with my family. And so we've kind of been doing the same thing for the last 6 years, sans the sausage over the past couple of years.
Do you miss the sausage?
Hey, listen, here's the great thing is that we're still a part of this family. And so now what's really fun is last week I actually got to go by and visit our label, and the radio team has been helping with the single and all the different people that were there. I got to actually bring some Beasley Smokehouse barbecue sauce with me, which is arguably the number one barbecue sauce in Buena, Texas. And so I said, you help me become a number one, you know, radio charting artist, I'm giving you the best barbecue sauce to ever come out of the unincorporated township of Buena, Texas. So I felt like it was a pretty decent, fair trade on that situation.
That's one of the favorite things that I've ever heard in my life. Thank you for that so very much.
It was nice because I actually got to hand deliver it, so it kind of threw back some memories for me anyway. I just carried the box right in there, and I was like, well, this is how I used to, these are like the glory days right here, but... To be fair, I do not miss waking up at 2:45 a.m., driving down to a warehouse at 3 o'clock in the morning, loading up cardboard. Because people are like, well, at least you get to smell sausage all day. Well, that is wrong. If you're smelling sausage, then there's some cases you've busted open. You smell like wet cardboard all day long. And so as much as I can appreciate the opportunity to provide for my family during that time, I certainly do not miss the actual job of driving around a sausage delivery truck. But again, still grateful for the lessons that we learned. Because I'm telling you, here's the one thing I can tell you. If it all goes away today and we never have another single do anything like what Every But a Moment has done, if people stop calling me to play music, we've learned that the Lord was faithful driving around a sausage truck at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we have something to rest in. Like, that's the thing that the Lord taught us, is that he is faithful, just as faithful, when we're living in a single-wide mobile home and trying to make ends meet. He's just as faithful then as he is going to get to go on tour with these heroes of mine that I grew up listening to, and getting to walk into places and people know my song and know my name. That's not what we're for. We're for being faithful. And so, again, the Lord proved himself faithful, so we can surely appreciate it. But, man, I hope I don't have to do that again.
That's the voice of Micah Tyler, the recording artist behind the hit Never Been a Moment, and a man of great faith and great hope and great resilience, as you can hear as well. And apparently great sausage as well, which is just,
hey,
this is tremendous.
Get on the pit, man. Beasley sausage is a thrill on the grill. I'm telling you.
I believe.
I can sell you some sausage right now if you want. I can give you. I can hook this up. I probably have some order forms in my dashboard.
Are you kidding me? I would be delighted. Yes, please hook me up. And whether it's credit card, money order, check, whatever it needs to be, we'll get it done here. Now, this is such a delightful conversation. You of course made the decision to make this bold leap. And to depart from what you were doing and to take this, you know, leap towards what you felt God was calling you to do. And that sounds amazing. And we know that it's the type of thing that is inspirational. But I do wonder, when you first began that new life, when you were first traveling in that trailer that you spoke of so eloquently, were there times when you felt like, well, God, I did what you nudged me to do. Here we are. I kind of feel like maybe I did the wrong thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's how sacrifice works, I think. Sacrifice is always going to cost you something. And so we have given up a lot of comfort to follow the Lord. We have given up the opportunity. I mean, the thing is, my dad grew up with my dad working at a paper mill. He works at a paper mill in Evadale, Texas. He's worked there for 35 years, still works there, and they make paper. And there's something beautiful about that. I've always thought that this guy shows up to work for 35 years, and he makes paper. Paper is not somehow turned into a new thing. It is still the exact same thing it was, a different process, different machines, whatever. But it's paper. And he gets a clock out at the end of the day, and he gets to be done with paper.
Yeah.
And then he goes back in and he does it. He has a set amount of hours. He gets a budget around those things. And we're saying, like, well, Lord, you know, the summers are busier because I can do camps, but falls are hard because, you know, we don't know what we're going to do for that. And we've got, I mean, all these different things. So again, I longed for those days of, like, I just wish we knew, like, how much money we had to be able to pay these bills or do these things. But what I've learned is, and someone told me this, had someone very wise tell me this before we stepped out, is that every time that there's sacrifice to be made, what looking forward looks like sacrifice, you'll look back and always see faithfulness. Because the Lord never calls us to do anything that he's not prepared to actually back up and stand behind. Wow. So the times whenever we felt like that we've sacrificed and it hasn't panned out, it's usually the wrong thing.
This good man is named Micah Tyler. He's the recording artist behind that hit song, Never Been a Moment, that is just so catchy, you cannot get it out of your head. It's true. It's been in my head for a long time, and it's a good thing to have in your head, but I do feel like I blame you a little bit for that. So hey, I just want you to know.
I totally get it. Man, you should hear my kids. There's the pickup. I'm just joking.
He's a man of great faith as well, as you can hear. Okay, well, here's an honest question on that. Because I often wonder, you go and you perform these songs again and again all over the country. Do you eventually get sick of your own music?
Here's the neat thing about that whole. There are definitely times where I tend to want to go into autopilot. Like, I've sung these songs so many times that I don't have to think on the lyrics the way that I did when I first wrote the song.
Yeah.
But the Lord has been kind enough to somehow bring a freshness to most of the time when we're playing these songs, and I'm not like sitting there thinking, okay, what are we going to have for lunch today? Like, while I'm playing these songs. But, you know, again, it's the same thing with anything that you do in a repetitious way. You can totally kind of go into autopilot kind of thing. But it's what's been impactful for me is that even though I've experienced this song thousands and thousands of times, there are still people hearing it for the first time, and I still get messages and I still get emails of people who are saying, I had a lady talk to me this past week. They just kind of told me, you know, my husband and I got a divorce, And he had, it was her, so she had two kiddos, and then she married this man who became the father of these kids. He was not a believer. They went through some problems as a family. They ended up getting a divorce. Then the Lord started working in her life, started working in his life. He ends up becoming a believer. They end up starting to try to reconcile their relationship, and Never Been a Moment was one of those songs that actually led to them getting married again. And now they are a complete Christian family again. And so when I hear that, there's two things that happen. Number one, I can't deny the truth of what the song is trying to say. And as many times as I've said it, it's the same thing that goes back to that, that God's word does not return back void, which is the reason why I constantly am trying to sift through God's word and make sure that what I'm saying is actually something that he has said that he will prove and something that he has said that he will do. And the second thing is, it makes me feel so small because I know that it's not me doing those things. It is the Lord being kind to let me have a front row seat to what he is doing through a 3.5 minute long pop song, a song that is trying to reflect the Lord. But without the Lord's presence in the midst of it, it's just words and noises. So, again, it's one of those things that, yeah, there's definitely times where I'm going like, okay, I'm going to sing this song again. But at the same time, the Lord just keeps proving that there is life in what he is doing. And so we just look forward to the next time that we get to sing it and see what the Lord's wanting to do through that thing.
It's so fascinating because you've had this opportunity now from the moment when you picked up that guitar in youth group and thought that maybe you'd pass it off to one of your students to now with the number one song on the radio. What do you think it is? What has this time taught you about how a song, those 3.5 minutes as you described them, can be so transformative, can be so powerful? There's something about music that just speaks truth in a way that it's hard to describe.
Well, I know that as a songwriter, it's such a weird thing because there's a science to it, and there's a puzzle piecing kind of a thing to it, because I envy the days when I was a youth pastor and I could stand up in front of students for 20 to 30 minutes and expound upon a thought. I could sit there and take a passage and just walk through the whole thing and just take my time and be thorough about it and give context to it and lay out all these different things. But as a songwriter, they just don't let you record 15-minute long songs anymore. I mean, gone are the days of Bye Bye Miss American Pie that's 15 minutes long that got played on the radio. And part of what we're doing is we're trying to give a truth in such a concise amount of time. But there is also something that kind of helps you narrow down and get down to the nitty-gritty. So I think songs are kind of this kind of a Cliff Notes version of a biblical truth or a thought. I've always just loved music. I mean, everything from listening to music growing up and listening to Michael Jackson and Boys to Men and that kind of stuff to listening to Mary, Did You Know? And like having that whole thought process in 4 minutes be a transformative thing to me and think, okay, what was Mary thinking in that time? And like going through that, and it helps that Michael English is delivering it in a way that is just grandiose and huge and amazing and beautiful and powerful. But again, it helps me now as a musician. I want to make sure that I'm bringing something to say. I don't want it to be 3.5 minutes of noise. I want there to be some kind of truth in it. But it also is trying to get down to the nitty gritty. So sometimes you can go hear a message for 30 minutes and you're trying to piece together your brain for 30 minutes, trying to hold all that information in. Or someone can sing a song for 4 minutes and get, you know, all the highlights of that sermon crammed into a thing. And it lets you kind of process it, kind of get it all in one big bite, maybe.
Oh, that's great. Mr. Micah Tyler is with us today on the road, the recording artist behind the hit song, Never Been a Moment. And as you can hear, a man of great faith and also some very, very eloquent ways of putting some truth here today on the road. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is this very amusing way that you have of compartmentalizing your music into videos as well. And you've been behind some viral videos on YouTube as well. Going back to last summer, you have this video called Gotta Love Millennials that is just extremely catchy. It's another one of those songs that just, it crawls inside your head and stays there for a couple of weeks. This is a hilarious video. Can you talk about this song that speaks of man buns and participation trophies and tell us the tale of that video, sir?
Okay, so this is one of the biggest mysteries of my life. Is this little particular video, 4 minute long video. So there's a church in Dallas that I've become great friends with. It's a church called Watermark Church over in Dallas. I love how they love people. They love the Lord. They love the gospel. It's an incredible church. And they were doing a leadership conference. And I'd done some things for them before. And I did an event where I was introducing different pastors and musicians, Shane and Matt Chandler and a couple of different guys. I was introing them. And I had done this little funny thing. I went on a tour with Phil Wickham and Shane, my first ever tour I ever went on. And I was supposed to get up there, and I had the opening spot. Well, these guys are the best singers I've ever heard in my life. So I thought to myself, what's a fun way that I can get up there and not try to take myself too seriously? Because everyone's there not to see me. I'm thinking, what's something that I can do? So I just made this little bit up about how I called them, and I left them a voicemail. But their voicemails were their songs with the word changed. And so I would take a Shane song, and I turn it into, like, they can't come to the phone right now. And it is just really silly, and it ended up being fun. Well, I did one of these at Watermark Church, and they came to me and said, can you write voicemails for these speakers? And then I'd seen this YouTube video. They're doing like some acapella stuff, and I was like, well, I'll try that. So I did their acapella deals, did it for this event. They ended up doing this leadership event later and said, hey, can you take on some topics? And so I did one about missionaries, and I did it to a Taylor Swift song. And now my personal favorite video is one that I did. They wanted me to talk about Christianese. And so I actually made a Rosetta Stone commercial for how to speak Christianese. And it's one of my favorite. That's the one that I thought was going to be a big hit at this conference. And it went over really well. But they asked me to do one on millennials. Now, you have to understand, Ron, I'm a millennial myself.
Uh-huh.
And so half of this song may have actually been inspired from my mirror. There's no telling. And so I ended up just thought, okay, well, it would be funny to kind of do this thing. So trying to figure out a song that would work with. I found the Beatles track, and I thought this would be good. So we made this video, again, just for a room of 700 people. And the thought behind it was they were going to play a video full of stereotypes. Then they come up behind it and they talk about how the millennial generation is not all only are they not all these stereotypes, that they can definitely feed into them sometimes.
Sure.
But that we are not only the future of the church, but also the present church right now, and how they need to be engaged. And Watermark has this incredible young adult ministry. And so anyways, I thought it was going to be for a conference of 700 people. They ended up releasing it about 2 weeks later. I'd been signed to Fairtrade for about 7 months at the time. And so we were getting ready to actually go to radio with Never Been a Moment. And they released this video. And I was told last week that cumulatively, it's at about 110 million views from Facebook and YouTube. And again, which is 110 million more views than I ever expected this video to get. We weren't trying to put together a viral campaign. Again, it was one of those moments where we were trying to be faithful to a church asking us to come in and serve this topic. And so we just went all out and made this video to be something fun for those guys to enjoy from all over the planet, to talk about, to teach them how millennials are not these stereotypes. And it ends up turning into this completely different thing. And it's been fun. But again, it's the Lord opening up all of these new doors and having new conversations that we would have never been able to have if not for him taking something as silly as a little video and kind of introducing me to a whole new demographic of people from something as crazy as that.
It's amazing. I saw the video before I heard Never Been a Moment, and I didn't put together that you were the same guy until today, which actually is probably more of an indictment of my ability to deduce things and reason things, but
oh,
still,
no.
My word. Well, what a delight it's been to chat with you, good sir, for 26 minutes here today, and Never Been a Moment, just an incredible song. Your ministry has blessed so many of us. So first and foremost, keep up the great work, sir. And also, oh, yes. Praise him indeed. And before we say farewell, we do want to give you the opportunity. If people want to learn more about you, your great story, and follow along with all the great music, where is the place to go, Micah?
If they go to MicahTyler.com, M-I-C-A-H, if you can't remember how to spell it, just go to the book of Jonah and turn right. But MicahTyler.com, it's got links on there to my Facebook page, Instagram, all that good stuff. Also has a link to the new record that came out. I had an EP come out this past November called Different. It's six songs that have been battle tested in my own heart the same way that we did with Never Been a Moment. And so people can go check it out there. And like I said, we're putting up some new videos coming out, some new songs coming out. I actually spent a week in Nashville last week working on finishing out a brand new record to kind of complete the EP and turn it into an 11-song record. And so that'll be coming out this fall. I'll be going on tour with Mercy Me and Hawk Nelson, leaving out April the 21st. And we'll be doing a West Coast run there, so I may be able to see people in their own hometown. But MikeyTyler.com has all those details and more.
It has been a splendid experience speaking with you, sir. Thank you so much.
Such a joy, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.